Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Eric Rosenberg is here, too, because he's got some important stuff to talk to us about. Eric is a new friend, former senior litigator with Merrill Lynch, and now president of Litigation Proofing, LLC, and he's a guy who helps people make sure that when they do conduct business by email, when they do use that great tool that we all love and sometimes hate, that we use it productively and legally and in a way that doesn't get ourselves into a bind. Eric, welcome to the show.
Yes, good morning, Jim.
It's good to have you here. I guess most people, Eric, have heard about some of the most dramatic examples in the last year or so of people using email to get themselves into a bind. They give us a couple of those. One of the ones I was thinking of was the Boeing example. Yes. Of about a year or so ago.
Yes, actually, that's in a general category, first of all, of using business email for personal purposes, which can get you in a lot of trouble.
Cost him his job.
And the particular situation there was a communication between the Boeing chief executive and another employee on a relationship, a personal relationship. And it was apparently picked up by someone else surveilling the email.
Right.
And it led to a disclosure of that interpersonal relationship. And it was a matter at least of embarrassment, not necessarily illegal.
Well, it was, it cost him his job. I mean, the chief executive of Boeing lost his job because he used he sent personal email over company traffic.
That's right, and the real sin on that, and it's one of my seven deadly sins of workplace email, is that it leads you to an informality. And there's actually a series of these, a history of these situations where people have disclosed interpersonal relationships or gotten into a disclosure of company information that they shouldn't have when they thought they were just writing a personal email.
Well, if this guy, and I've forgotten his name, I don't think he had been there all that long.
Actually, he had returned to the company after taking over again after having been there for quite a long time.
Right. And I guess what I was going to say is that had he taken your handy-dandy little have ridden off into retirement in shame.
Yes, I we do offer a basic. Our online course on email, which can be found at my website.
Let's talk about those seven deadly sins. We already talked about the using email for personal use, which is number two. The first one is assuming that the delete button gets rid of the email trail, and it really doesn't do that. You got to do some other stuff, don't you?
Yes, basically my teaching is that you really need to write as if it's going to be permanent.
And published on the front page of the newspaper.
Yes, you need to think of your content that way. There are new federal rules on document discovery. I won't get too technical here, but basically they mean even in the smallest of cases that your audience might encounter in their local jurisdictions, email will be an item that the litigating attorneys will seek to discover from your computers, from your systems, your BlackBerries, whatever the tools you have. They'll have it on their client side as well as yours. So if you've written it in an email, you've got to assume it'll be part of the case.
Right. Well, and you know, Eric, for small businesses, and that's who our audience is,
yes.
We don't have the intrigue and all of the controversy typically that you can find in a larger company, but we do. But there are situations where internal email can be sent and it creates a problem. It can create unproductive environments. It can create bad feelings. It's possible that something could be sent to a customer that shouldn't have been sent to a customer. There are lots of ways that your rules apply to small businesses that are not as typical. And whereas some of the things that the big companies get into, we don't have that as much. But we do have our own issues, don't we?
Yes, you do. Most people have a system, no matter what the size, on addressing. And I wanted to warn them about this. There's a feature called auto address on most email systems where, as you start to fill in a name, it will complete the
right.
supposed address.
Right.
And a lot of us go and do that with the same care that we use driving while talking on the cell phone.
Right.
That we're not paying attention. And that's often the way something that was meant to go to Joe Smith went to Pete Smith and turned out to be a real problem because of that.
So, right. You have to check that very close. I have that capability on mine, too.
Yes.
Another thing that happens is that I found, just as a practical matter, mm-hmm. Eric, is that if I want to reply to someone, I'll hit the reply button. But maybe it's something that I want to make sure I'm very judicious about what I say. I want to make sure it's really, yeah. really a good one. What I will do is I might hit reply because I want their comments to be recorded.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll go up and delete their address out of that email until I'm absolutely positively sure that I want to send this.
It's useful not to make your addressing the last step.
Exactly.
I wanted to tell you about that reply. Obviously, you have to be careful that it's reply and not reply to all, which is
that can
a
get you into
mistake that people
that's
make.
A can of worms can be a can of worms, can it?
And there's another little feature people don't appreciate, which is sometimes you can send an email as a what's called a blind carbon copy of it
right.
to somebody, and if they hit reply to all, they will thereby disclose to people who the sender did not intend to know that you received that email.
Wait a minute. Time out.
Yes.
Are you saying that if I send you a blind copy?
Yeah, and I reply to all.
I send somebody else a blind copy.
Yeah.
I mean, a copy of an email, and I blind copy you.
Yes.
If they reply to all, they can discover who the blind copy
no,
is?
No, the other way around. If the blind copy recipient.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Inadvertently or deliberately, there's a reply to all. He or she will let the entire universe that got the email
right.
know that they got it, which is sometimes
right.
embarrassing.
When we come back, Eric's going to
yes.
tell us when you delete an email, when it's not deleted, and what you have to do to make sure it's deleted, right after these messages. 20 after, we'll be right back with Eric Rosenberg. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blassie. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, and we're having a great visit with our new friend, Eric Rosenberg. And Eric is the president of Litigation Proofing, LLC. And Eric, give us that website, please.
Yes, it's www.litigationproofing.com. Litigation proofing, one word, like waterproofing.
Uh-huh. And tell us what we'll find when we get there, Eric.
Say that again?
Tell us what we'll
find.
Oh,
what will they find? Yes. Right up front, you'll find a way to take a demo of our new online course called Think Before You Send, A Practical Guide to Email in the Workplace. And depending on the number of people in your business, you may want to subscribe to that and have them take the course. You'll also find a number of writings that I've done that give you some guidance, including my 7 Deadly Sins of Workplace Email. You'll find a contest that you can enter to submit from the public record the most interesting email that you've seen. Often small newspapers around the country have very interesting examples that I can use, and there are contest winners every month.
All right.
And you'll find ways to reach me to have me appear before your business association.
Now, if I took that course, will it teach me anything about etiquette, about email etiquette? Or just about litigation?
Not a whole lot about that, in the sense that obviously it'll teach you, for example, we have scenarios. One is two secretarial assistants fighting out a personal dispute through their corporate email. You'd be surprised how many people still do that.
Oh yeah, exactly. And one of the examples I've heard recently was where someone was just really ticked off about something going on in the company, and that person just decided to send his grievance out to everybody in the company.
Yes,
and it just basically just rippled through the company, gave everybody a bad attitude all day long.
Yeah. Now it is important, and I don't want to be viewed as a censor. Coming from the Sarbanes-Oxley principles, if you have perceived a problem at the company of somebody behaving poorly, or a accounting problem or other legal problem, we want you to communicate that. We want it to go to counsel or an appropriate level of the company to have them investigate. And the point is, you can do that by email. If it goes to counsel, it may be considered privileged and confidential, the company's privilege.
Right.
We don't want that broadcast throughout the firm, because you may be wrong about the information, or there may be some explanation you don't have.
Right. What are some other things that you see in a small business environment where we're not likely to have counsel, so to speak, on board? What are some things that you can think of that we would do, perhaps in dealing with a customer?
Well, I tell you what, I think that it's very important that there be some sort of surveillance of your if you have more than one employee, of what people are writing to the customers.
So we have a right to check behind the email that our employees send to the customers.
Yes, your salespeople need to know that you will check. So there should be some short set of procedures that say your email on my system or your email about my business is something that I have a right to review.
Any email you create on my equipment over my backbone gets reviewed has a potential to be reviewed by me.
That's right.
Anything.
And then I would establish a process of doing so. You don't have to review everyone, but you'd be surprised if the people working for you know they'll be reviewed, and if you occasionally make that point, you will find they sharpen up their writing and don't make guarantees that they can't honor or send information that's confidential about one customer to another, things like that.
Quickly, how do you delete something all the way? Tell us how that works.
I tell you what, I think that's a fiction to imagine you really can. In the equipment that you have, the residue of it is still kept on the hard drive, and if there's enough at stake, somebody can use special services to recover it. But basically, when you delete something from the machine, there usually it goes to another cache or place where you then have to delete it again. But again, you've sent it somewhere. So how do you know it's been deleted where you sent it?
Right. But if you delete it off your desktop and out of your inbox, and then you delete it out of the trash, does that delete it?
No, because in the way most systems work, until a new item, it fills every space on the hard drive that item had.
Right.
It's available to be recovered. Now, it costs money, and it won't be recovered unless it's crucial in a litigation or a dispute, but it's available. It doesn't work like the old-fashioned audio tape, where you basically record over it.
Right.
So that's why you must write with more care than most people do.
Another issue, Eric, is sexual harassment, those kinds of things, where and inappropriate emails in small businesses. Those are the kinds of things that pop up fairly often.
Yes, I must say, first of all, the enforcement has to come from the top in the behavior of people at the top.
Right.
You cannot be a person running a small business and writing things that you think are funny or observations about people that are problematic,
right,
and expect that the people under you will behave any differently.
Eric, we've got to wrap it up. Thank you for being here. Give us that website again, please.
Yes, www.litigationproofing.com.
It's
one
a short,
word like waterproof.
A short course you can find out about folks that you might want to consider having your employees take to train them on how to use the email better than they're doing. Eric, thanks for being here. Good job today. And we'll be right back with Steve Martin. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.